Let us pray. May I speak in the name of God the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we shall be looking at the marks of a genuine Christian church. The mark of a genuine Christian church. From where we read, from the book of Acts of Apostles, chapter 17, 1 to 10, gave the background story that links to Paul's letter to the Christians in Thessalonica. There we found Saul in his usual way when he moved into Thessalonica in the synagogue, exploring the Word of God with some Jews who were living there, and the Greeks as well. The overall of his message was message of salvation, the suffering, the death. I hope my pronunciation is correct. The death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. His teaching actually touched some of them, that some Jews believed him, and majority of the Greeks actually welcomed his teachings and followed him. As a result of that, some Jews were jealous, and they organized mobs, which led to Paul and Silas leaving Thessalonica. Then in our second reading, Paul after a while wrote to this church, having heard how well they were doing, based on the faith he taught them. And they received that, and they didn't actually limit what they received to themselves. They extended it to others. He wrote to them, thanking them for that faith and commending their good works, which was visible because they impacted to other peoples around them, affecting their life positively. And of course, they were brought to faith as well. So Paul commended their good works, which he had concerning them. In that very text, he went on pointing on those things that we might look at, that made the church in Thessalonica a genuine Christian church. One of the things, or rather things he pointed out, were the faith he saw in them. He taught them the faith, which was the result of the good work they did. What was the good work? They transplanted, or they handed over what they received from Paul. Despite, we read from that text, there were sufferings, there were restrictions, which actually made Paul and Silas to move. Because of this new faith they embraced, because the Greeks among them were idol worshippers. And of course, the Jews weren't believers in the teachings of Christ. And that was why, in the first place, Christ was crucified. So the converted Jews among them weren't originally Christians. So they were still facing suffering and persecution. But they persevered because of the faith and what they were benefiting from, that what they received. They didn't want to hold it to themselves. They moved on, handing that over to other people, which Paul heard about. Another thing is love. And this love prompted them to labor. Preaching the gospel is not an easy thing. Being available for others in need at times might not be easy. There are challenges being a child of God or being a Christian. We are privileged to be in a country where we have freedom of speech and worship. There are people today in some parts of the world who cannot preach this gospel freely, and who cannot receive this gospel as well freely. That was the case of the Christians in Thessalonica. But they persevered because of love, despite their suffering. Another good thing is the hope, which inspired endurance in them, which gave them that standing to withstand suffering and challenges. The mark of a genuine Christian church. From that reading, we saw as well how they received the gospel with conviction, which they equally passed on to others. This gospel was being empowered by the Holy Spirit. And of course, it was that empowerment that brought about conviction. When you preach the word, just like every other word, just like casting news, it might not actually go to any length affecting people's life. And if we recall our minds to the day of Pentecost, when before Jesus was leaving, he told his disciples to wait in Jerusalem until they received the power. The essence of that is that they will be empowered, that the word they will be ministering to people will not just be an empty word. And it is that power of the Holy Spirit that will bring conviction in the life of people. And that Holy Spirit obviously will not come until a church devotes themselves to prayer, until a minister devotes his or herself to prayers. So we saw in this church that very attribute. Gospel preached, backed up with power, probably because they learned the right attitude of prayer from Paul and Silas. Hospitality is another thing. In verse 9, Paul emphasized on the kindness he received from them, which was visible. Other people commented on that. Hospitality. And of course, I've mentioned having received the message, they didn't stock it to themselves, they extended it to others. And it made great impact in the life of people they encountered. And a church marked by repentance, a church that received the word of God, despite the challenges facing them, despite the persecution, despite the context in which they were, that were hostile to anything pertaining to the teaching of Christ. But they received the word, turned back from their idol worship, and embraced the teachings they received, which was the teaching of salvation, the ministry, the life, and the work Jesus fulfilled on earth. And they turned back from all their evil ways, leaving their idols back and embracing God. It might be a bit going off track, but I would like to emphasize on this word, idol. At times we feel idol worship is worshiping some kind of image alone. Idol worship in a simple language could be making God last in our priority. Whatever we count more important in our life before God tends to be an idol to us. But these people gave all and gave God first place in their life. And they served God. And that testimony, we saw it on the letter Paul wrote to them to encourage and thank God on their behalf. The mark of a genuine Christian church. They still look to the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. They still have that hope. They are not just there because of some kind of social gathering. They are there because they believe one day there will be reckoning. One day, recently on the day of Ascension, this Jesus you see going into heaven will one day come down in the same vein. They believed that. They had it as we are hearing it every day and held on to that. That Jesus will one day come back in glory. And these are the things that we will see in a church that genuinely stands as a Christian church. All these things were visible in this life of this very church. Paul and Silas ministered only for 3 weeks. 3 weeks, and left because of persecution. We as a church, we are wonderful people. I mean, here in St. John's, we are doing all these things. Personally, I have experienced loved here. I've been loved, I've been cherished, I've received kindness. We do pastoral outreach. We are concerned about our members and even people who are not part of us. We pray for the community. But unfortunately, the world in which we are living today, much is needed to be done still. You look on the television, you go through the internet, it seems that the gospel is not making impact. A lot of people are derailing, resenting, not giving heed to the word of God. And that is a great calling on the church to revisit That mandate Christ has given the church. To go ye into the world and make disciples of all nations. We, St. John's Church, we are not out of this. Our village here, or rather our community, reflects equally in a sense what the world is like today. The population of this very village, I believe, is above 4,000 inhabitants. And I know we have two churches here in Emswell. And if we look at the number we have here, and perhaps visit the Baptist church, we can judge to ourselves. Or if we have a kind of questionnaire, and then think of the number of people who are committed to Christian faith in this village, we know actually that we still have a lot to do. We, here as the Church of God, as a community, as a family, as individuals as well, are all called into this. What are we called into? Reflecting what we already have, bringing it into the society, being committed, being motivated by that love we have in us, being inspired by that hope we have in Christ, being prompted by that faith we've received and we continue to receive, even from this church, from our personal studies of the scripture, to affect the life of our community and even to go beyond, like the Christians in Thessalonica or the church in Thessalonica. There is a need to intensify our efforts. Gospel has been preached in this church. The seed of the gospel equally has gone far in this very village. Some germinated, some still need to be watered. And we heard that just preaching the word might not make impact until the word is backed up with the power. And that power can only be made possible through our prayers. I often heard people, after preaching, they will commend your sermon and say, such a beautiful sermon, wonderful. That's a good thing. But on a second thought, not here, even when I was in Rome, I will ask myself, what is beautiful about this sermon? For me, a beautiful sermon is a sermon that convicts us. A beautiful sermon is a sermon that will quicken us where we are not getting it right. Of course, a beautiful sermon is a sermon that will encourage us and give us hope. So we need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to back every word that has been spoken to this village. And that will water the word and cause it to germinate in the life of people in this village. We need to pray for our ministers so that the word they preach will be backed up with power. It will not just flow, fall on an empty land. It will fall on a ground that will receive it, and it will bring transformation on that ground. That is what we need to do. There are other ways we will help in enhancing this. Inviting people to some of the programs we have outlined. It's been mentioned when, will I call it announcement or whatever, is being made by director. the Message Church, Christianity Explored, and other things we do, like Bible studies we organize in homes. These are Christian education through which our faith will grow. We have received much from that. We are called, as the church in Thessalonica did, to move out, inviting people to be partakers of what we are receiving. We are called to invite people to this, to explore that faith which we've been benefiting from, because Christ desired them to come to the true knowledge of whom he is. He never meant any life to perish. We have that hope, and that's why we are here, that Jesus is coming again. If not, our gathering here will be in vain. Since we have that hope, let us be moved by that love of God that is in us, which I have equally benefited from over my stay in this place, to reach out despite the barriers and difficulties we might face. Difficulties of time, difficulties of people being resentful to our message, to persevere and continue to do one-on-one evangelism. That little bit we do, thinking that it doesn't matter, if it is backed up with prayer, will one day reflect positively in the life of people who have received the word. And finally, our life is important. The life we live. We saw it in the life of the Christian church in Thessalonica. Paul commended it. Their lives were mirrors through which people saw Christ. That life challenged them, and some of them came to Christ. We are wonderful people. We are believers, and our life is fantastic. But at times, like Paul said to his second letter to Timothy, chapter 3. I'm sorry. In his letter to the Christians, to the Christians in Rome, chapter 7, verse 15, that I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I end up doing. We need the grace of God often to live a life that is worthy of Christian calling. On our own, we cannot do it. And we should be mindful that people are looking at us. Our life does influence them, either negatively or positively. So let us just be open to that grace that Jesus offers. And that grace will empower us as we commit ourselves to this great calling, being part of what the church in Corinth did that influenced the people around them greatly. And Paul, in his writing, commended them and gave thanks to God because of the life and the faith he saw in them. Let us pray. Lord, you have been doing great things through us. But we still know that there are much to do in this land. And we know that your people are willing. We just ask you to empower them. We just ask you to stir up that love they have already in them, so that we'll be part of what you are doing, even at this time in this world and in this village, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.